25th, is that right? Revival services? Let me look at the date. I'm sorry. May 5th, actually, we're going to begin revival services here with Dr. Stephen Govender. He is from South Africa, and Dr., that's also another gentleman that doctors actually had me meeting with over the last few weeks. We've met and we've prayed. We've talked about revival services, but he's going to be here with us May 5th through the 8th. And so mark your calendars for those two dates. And, you know, I'm excited. You know, I'm excited for the impartation that that will get through his ministry. He's been a part of and raised up many large churches, and so we're gonna host him here, and that'll be starting May 5th. So, and I did see Tim Hall, Evangelist Tim Hall, is at Center Branch this weekend. He starts services, I think, sometime this week. I don't even know the day, but what's that? Today through Wednesday, so he'll be at Center Branch this week as well. And great evangelist, the pastor Luke did send me. It's great because, you know, I communicate with some of the pastors; they do send out invites and, you know, and things like that. So he'll be there this week. So praise God. Just another quick announcement. I know Miranda will be closing out her class tomorrow, and if anybody's interested in taking that. You know, the catch-up's always easy in the first week, but, you know, if anybody's interested in hearing the Voice of God class, that's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here. And I know you had a pretty full class last week, but that'll be taking place tomorrow night. So see her after class if you want to jump into that. So praise God. Well, I'm going to hold offering to the end of service tonight. I really want to get into the Word, but it's exciting because When you start a new series and you begin to think, man, how is everything going to flow into a new series? And as we begin to prepare and plan over the last week and really just through the weekend, thinking about this word, what it means to be purposed, you know, a lot of things really become alive, I think, in Pastor Miranda's heart and my heart. Because, you know, if I were to look across the congregation, I'm going to preach on just a very general word tonight, and I'm going to preach on success. But if I were to look across this congregation tonight, I could look, and just from how long I've known people, man, I've watched you become successful. I've watched you become successful in these areas and that area. But, you know, I want to tell you about something about the School of Success. You really never get your degree. There are certain things that, you know, that you accomplish in life, yes, but I don't think it's anything that you ever come to mastery level in the area of success. So can you become more successful as an individual? What would you guys say? Yes, you can. But I want to show you out of Scripture, okay, because it's important that we see this out of the Word of God. I can stand up here and talk about success and ways that you can be successful, things that you can do to become successful as an individual. But there are key things in the Bible that we're going to look at, that we're going to evaluate, that the Word says that if you do this, look, this is what you can have. Amen? So that's kind of where we're going to go tonight, and praise God, it's going to be fun. Let's pray over this word tonight. Father, I thank you for this house, this church, Father. I pray that, Lord, as we go through this word, being purposed, Father, and living with a purpose even, Father, that, Lord, you help us, Father. I thank you that, Lord, we know where our help comes from. And, Father, I pray, Lord, even tonight, give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, give us a heart to receive everything that you have through your word for us tonight, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, it's a topic that I've covered many times. Some of you might recall, even at times, I know that I preached series around it, but and I never hung around it very long. But as we got into the word purpose, I began to meditate and think a lot about, you know, just what it means to be successful. And I'm going to go through just a few definitions here. But see, success, if you're taking notes tonight, you want to take notes, it's up to you. Success can be defined as the satisfactory realization of a given goal or a set of objectives. Success is not a destination. Success is not a destination, but the accomplishment of a given purpose. And again, as I already said, it's lifelong. It's not like you reach the degree in success. You know, you'll find that people that that have gained high success, they're always shooting for greater success. You take Tom Brady as an example. I don't know if anybody remember when Tom Brady got into the first NFL game. I happened to be watching that game with my dad. And my father loved football. And on a Sunday morning, I believe it was one of the guys got knocked out of the game, and he was a good quarterback. And he's actually an announcer. Now, who was the quarterback that he... Bledsoe. There we go. So I got New England Patriot fans in the house. But it was, no, praise God, we don't. Amen. So, yes, we do. There's a few in the house. Amen. But Bledsoe got knocked out, and then here comes this guy, scrawny, skinny, and he comes onto the field, and it's like, you know, New England's going to get beat. You know, they've lost Bledsoe. They've lost their number one quarterback. And here he comes out, and he throws for like four touchdowns in the second half. And it really is history from there. I know Minister Lehigh's a Patriots fan. You know, they were Patriots fans. They were like 8 or 9 years winning Super Bowls. Amen. They're hiding out in Pittsburgh Steeler Nation. But you know, here's a guy that he just didn't arrive that day at success. And I want you to catch that, because a lot of times we think that success means I had one moment in time that I was successful. But I'm going to tell you, it was year after year after year that Tom Brady, he continued his efforts to become better. You know, he even left the Patriots. Think about this. He left the Patriots and went to Tampa Bay for 1 year. And what happened? Huh? They won the Super Bowl. Now, isn't that something? That the success of one person could be carried over it. Now, I'm going to tell you, they recruited a lot of players. But it was easy for them to grab those players because they had a successful quarterback. They had a quarterback that had some history. Now, I want to say this, because whether you're white, you're black, you're educated or non-educated, we all want to succeed in life. People by nature want to be successful. You don't wake up and... You know, you don't wake up most days and think, I'm going to have an unsuccessful day. Now, you know, everybody's a child of God, right? We have successful days, right? We're successful people. So I'm talking to the family of God tonight. You know, when you come together on a Sunday night, when you come together on special nights outside of even Sunday morning, you know, these are like believers' meetings. So you come to impart something in people. You come to impart faith to go higher, amen, to go to another level. That's so we understand that we as children of God, we truly do want to be successful. We want to be, how many times I'm going to say this word? I'm not sure. But whether you're white, you're black, you're educated, you're not educated, it really doesn't matter. People overall are striving to be successful in life. You know, true and I want to say this because it's important that you see this even from the beginning. True and lasting success is rooted in God. True and, catch this, because it's I'm not talking about the one-time event, but true and lasting success is rooted in God. It's got to go down deep. It's got to grab a hold of the roots. But it's success is true. Your success in life truly is rooted in God as a believer. Now, if you're a non-believer, this doesn't apply to you. Are there successful people that are non-believers? Yes. And I think a lot of times it's that they're very principled. There are principles that you could, there are certain laws that you can follow in life. I'm not talking to them tonight. I'm talking to you. But can you gain success as an atheist? Yeah. There are things that you can do. There are certain principles and laws. You know, going to work, that's one of them. Amen. But true success, true lasting success is rooted in God. It's rooted in His Word. It's rooted in the Bible. You'll see it from early on in Genesis all the way into Revelation. You'll see that there were people that where God come into their life, man, everything shifted. Now you'll see that so many of these people were did they have struggles? Did they have battles? Not to focus on those, but yes. We use Joseph even as an example many times. You know, Joseph, you think that, you know, he gets thrown in a pit. He gets thrown. He goes and he serves in an area where nobody serves God. Nobody lives for God. But Joseph loved God. He was very different in a nation. Daniel, you see that even in Daniel. But you think in one instant where Joseph has advancements made at him by Potiphar's wife. And Joseph says one thing, and you got to catch this because success is rooted in God. He said, you know, how could I defy myself against the living God? How could I give myself over to this woman because of God? So when God is your measure in life, man, that's what holds me together. Honestly, 100% God holds me together. The Holy Spirit quickens my mouth sometimes when I want to say something smart. I mean, on the way here, I was, the thoughts go through your head sometimes. We pulled out of the driveway. Our driveway, you never know when a car is going to come up 80 mile an hour from that rear because it's kind of like you got to pull out real quick. Anybody's been to my house, they know. It's like you look, and I've had times where cars have come flying, and I'm on the road on the other side of the road watching a car go by. I'm like, why didn't you stop, you jerk? I mean, that's going in my head. I didn't say, you see what I'm saying? That's in my head. But, you know, even tonight, like I said, God, I'm thankful for God, and because God will quicken my tongue. You know, I pulled out tonight, and next thing I know, I've got a GMC truck right on my bumper, and I watch Miranda take her window down, and she takes her water bottle, and she throws it, the water out, and she didn't throw her bottle out, but she was throwing water, and I'm like, that's funny. I'm like laughing because that guy, because that water spraying all over his truck, because she wanted to get her little drink thing, whatever it is, right? And in my mind, I'm like, you know, that'll teach you. You know, and I wanted to say a few other things, but I was quickened because, you know, I understand that death and life are in the power of the tongue. I'm not trying to shift here, but you want to talk about things that will keep you successful in the Lord. Man, your tongue will keep you successful. So listen, please understand, if you're going to be successful, you need the God gauge in your life. You need the Holy Spirit in your life to stop you, to quicken you, to help you. Amen. Anybody need help from the Holy Ghost? I know I do. Amen. Pray for me. If you don't need it, pray for me. I need it. Amen. Amen. But the truth is, success, it's rooted in God. You know, in Proverbs 10:22, you know, what does success do? It guarantees our security. There's a security in our success when it's lined up with God. Proverbs 10:22, it says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it." The blessing of the Lord makes a man rich. The blessing of the Lord makes a man rich. Are you blessed? Yeah. Am I blessed? Yeah, I'm blessed. It makes me rich. Rich. And there's a word sometimes, well, we're just going to be careful with how we use the word rich. Rich means rich. You know, because, well, we got to be, you can't say rich because, you know, rich in love, rich in mercy, rich in grace. No, rich means rich. Abraham had a bunch of cattle, right? Where did he get? He was rich because he was obedient. Amen. I'm jumping ahead, but he was blessed because he was obedient to do what God told him to do. So you're blessed if you're blessed. You're rich. And I know sometimes, boy, you know, even to mention the word rich in church, man, it can touch a nerve. It can be like, here's that King's Church. You know, Brother Stephen, I listened to him preach. You know, he was talking about a little bit of his testimony. When he came into church here, he was like, he said, you know, yeah, this church, it talks a lot about money. No, honestly, you know, we mention, the thing about it is we don't talk a lot about money. We may spend 10 or 15 minutes on a tithe and offering, but we spend the majority, 85% around the word. But when things are getting rooted out of our life, I've been there. I've sat in the seat. Right, here we go again. You know, sit in a 3.5 hour tithing offering message. That'll stretch your faith. Amen. Amen. And then when the Lord says, "Release this," and you do it with joy, amen. And again, you don't have to have it anyway. I don't need to go there. But, you know, even when I heard him say that, you know, because, you know, what God does, God comes along, the Holy Spirit comes along, and he heals us, and he helps us. You know, and I love that because it's a part of your testimony. I used to think, you know, this, you know. But then you know what I started to do? I started to tithe. I started to do what the Word told me to do. Because you listen to what I'm saying. I started to tithe. I started to jump in. I jumped into where the blessing was. I jumped into the blessing. See, you can do that as a child of God. You can jump into the blessing, but see, well, you know, I'm going to, when I feel like it. When I have enough. You'll never have enough. You want to be successful as a believer and as a Christian. You move into the realm of seeing what the Word says, what it teaches you to do, and you do it. You do it. The Bible's full of principles. I'm so thankful for the principles that we can gather out of the Bible. I'm thankful for Proverbs, the one-a-days, amen? The one-a-days, read your Proverbs, one-a-days. One-a-days, 31 Proverbs, read them. Jump into it, get yourself into it, amen? True success guarantees security in one's life. The blessing of the Lord, it makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. He's not adding sorrow to the blessing. He's not adding sorrow to the blessing. He's not adding sorrow to the blessing. You catch that? Because you got it. There's a physical seeing and there's a spiritual seeing. He adds no sorrow. He's not adding sorrow to the blessing. I'm blessed because he's the blesser. Amen. You know, even through this, you know, as I said, true and lasting success is rooted in God. It's rooted in the Word. There's also another component, and that's revelation. Because revelation is found in lasting success. You can look at someone, you could look at someone's life, and you'll see that success has followed them for a very long time. Well into their 70s and 80s. You can see, and it's because of revelation. And see, this is the key for the believer, that you can gain the knowledge and you can gain the revelation of the Word your entire life. You know, as an example, have you ever read something in the Bible one time, two times, three times, four times, and then you go back and you read it a fifth time, and you're like, never seen that before. Has anybody ever done that before? Or maybe it's the 10th time you've read something. You know, even as I studied this topic, I was like, oh no, this is good because I felt like I preached on this, but I've never really taken maybe this approach or angle. You know, as I could preach, you know, as Pastor Miranda did this morning, you can preach two messages and they can come out very differently. Because what happens in life is that to become successful as a believer, there are things that begin to happen. But see, the revelation of the Word, it's more alive in me now 12 years later than it was the first year I stood in Hana and preached a message with 10 pages of notes. A page of my... You know, you imagine me anyway, right? You know, I use a tablet because it works for me. No, you know, I like that and I have this because I go back and forth. But, you know, I remember, you know, revelation taught me to, you know... on how to even prepare a message, because I literally, I'll never forget, I preached out of Ephesians 4, talked about the unity in the body of Christ, and I had 4 pages of notes. And I think I preached for 33 minutes, and I was like, what in the world are all these notes doing up here? And anyway, that's nobody's ever, you know, anyway, that was me. But what happens in a person's life is we begin to gain the revelation. We begin to gain the knowledge of the Word. Once we begin to get revelation of the Word, we now, as believers, listen, and I'm going to say this, each and every one of you, you now become a doer of what that revelation is. You can't just sit at home and eat Doritos, Cheetos. You can't just lay back and be lazy. You've got the imparted Word in you. Now it's alive. See, now that's the thing where you add faith to that. Now you activate that. Now you activate that very Word, that sown Word, the Holy Bible. You activate that Word. And it becomes alive. Isn't that fun? The Word can become alive in your life. You know, man, the living Word can become alive in you. It's what carries you. Guys, listen. You know, how often do you need faith put in you every day? You need injection of faith every day. And, you know, you can find it in a variety of different ways. You can find it in worship. You know, and listen, I always tell people, you know, be careful what you listen to. If you're going to listen to sad, sappy, depressing Christian songs that pull you down, that talk about how tough everything is, that's where you'll stay. And I don't want to come off hard there, but you see, when I know the word says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and I begin to sing a song that doesn't glorify God but glorifies my problem, well, it feels good. Things feel good to the flesh. But see, one, and I'm giving you something. These are nuggets tonight because see, listen, if I shift my thinking, if I shift my mindset, I begin to focus on God, on God's word. You know, like, you know, even tonight, you know, I just even listening, that closing my eyes, you're worthy, Father. Who am I singing about? I'm singing about Him. I'm glorifying Him. I'm loving Him. I'm telling Him how much I care about Him. You know, did I have a problem? Yeah. I didn't come up to the mic and say, gosh, you wouldn't believe what happened. Blah. Blah. Because, see, these are one of these keys. Because, see, people are watching you. And there's never been a more I think it's this is the greatest time. You know, God's watching you, right? You guys know that, right? He sees it all, right? Everything's before God. But above all else, people are watching you too. They're watching what you do. People watch. You know, even if, and I'll use Josh, if Josh was back there on his phone playing a game and somebody walks by and sees Pastor Josh playing, or Pastor Josh, praise God, I'm prophesying, amen. They see Josh on his phone playing Bubble Breaker or whatever it is. That's what I call it. I don't know what it's called. What's it called? What is it? Yeah, whatever. And they're going to think, well, Pastor Josh, he don't really care about service tonight. That's the message that it sends. But you know what successful people do? They press in. They get into it. They, you know, this whole fake it till I make it, you know, I'm just here because I don't remember. No, you come expecting. You put yourself in that, you stay in the game, you put yourself in the game. Did anybody ever sit the bench in sports? I did. I hated it. I wanted in the game. Because I knew that if I could get it in the game, I'd make a difference. And that's what I told Kali. I told Kali when both the boys started, I said, when you get your shot, I don't care what it is, you knock somebody down. You do everything when you get your opportunity, you do everything you can do. You go 110%. Because that's a mark of success. When you get the opportunity, you go for it. The church has got to go for it in this hour. You've got to go for it in this hour. There's no shrinking back. We've got to step into another realm. Say, we're going for it, Pastor Brad. We're going for it. Amen. I'm not shrinking. I'm going for it. I'm going to live the word. I'm going to do what the word tells me to do. I'm going to live for it. Does it guarantee success? Yes. But it's easily. It can be easily lost if you don't keep pursuing it. Right? You can gain success one time in something. You know, we went out and we hit 1,000 homes 2 weeks ago, last week. I don't know when it was, but we went out and hit 1,000 homes. The GO team went out. Praise God. I consider that a successful day. I took 3 or 4 phone calls because of it. You know, so what? Well, you know, our area, you can't solicit. You know, but you can have dominoes flyers everywhere. You can have all this stuff. But because it had a church, whatever, an invite to, you know, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt. We'd love for you to come. We're going to have 2 services. We're just inviting you. And that's offensive. But see, that's the thing about the church. You know, we're not the church that's going to say, well, you know, we just... You know, honestly, our people, like, we're in the van and, like, we went over to the next neighborhood. And I actually seen the sign that said no soliciting, and our people were like, we should just go ahead and hit that one too. I said, well, they're owned by the same person. We just found out, so praise God. Let's jump back into this, if I can get into it. So revelation is the foundation of lasting success. And, you know, as I said, you know, faith is doing God's work. Faith is doing God's work. You know, this is the thing. Not everybody knows what success looks like. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a little bit of time over these next few weeks, and we're going to talk about this. And that's why this purpose series, I feel, is going to be, because this, guys, listen, this is what we're doing this year. This is what we're doing. This is the vision that God, this is what God, you know, we're it's breakout, right? We're a part of King's vision. But that goes so along, that goes right alongside. We're thriving this year. And we're going to break out this year. And God's going to, you know, there's a lot of stretching right now. I'm being stretched. There's things that are, you know, stretching. There's conversations I got to have this week that are stretching me. Amen. It'd be a lot easier just to say, you know, we had 125 today. Church looks good. And let's just wait till next Sunday. See who shows up. I've got a lot of work to do this week. Got phone calls to make. Got people to reach out to. We keep this thing moving forward. Amen? So God is, you know, he's stretching us. But not everybody understands what success looks like. And, I wrote this down because I think sometimes, and I've made this mistake, and this was a problem that I feel like verbally that I had, because people would ask me, how are things going with you? And I would just say, well, they're busy. And I honestly, it was a personal conviction that I received over it. I received over just telling people that I'm active. I do things. It's not like I'm sitting around waiting for something to happen. We're praying. We're doing a lot of things. Texts, phone calls, people, whatever it might be, just from all over. And, just all over. And so, but, you know, the thing about it is, success isn't busyness. Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're successful. Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're successful. And the Lord quickened me over that recently, you know, more times than and just one, but because, you know, because I can verbally say, well, you know, how are you doing, Pastor Brad? And I appreciate people ask. You know, I do, because I think people genuinely care. And when I ask people how they're doing, I'm asking because I care. I don't, you know, I'm not hoping I genuinely care. We care. So that's why we ask. But busyness is not success. The other thing that I want to say to you real quick is possessions are not success. Possessions are not success, because in our culture, in an American culture, we think that the biggest house, the biggest car, how much money you have in the bank, you know, your third home, your fourth home, your fifth home, your second home, we think that's the measure of success in society. And watch this, though. There's nothing wrong with possessions. You just don't love your possessions over loving God. Scripture, I'm going to give you a scripture that goes along with it. Well, see, actually, in Luke 12:15, Jesus said, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. So we understand success is not measured by the things that you possess or have. You guys with me on that? Everybody understand? It's not measured by that. And actually, in 1 Timothy 6:10, and many of you have heard this scripture, it says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. What does the scripture there say? It says, for the love of money. Doesn't say money is the root of all evil. People, they'll quote that, and they'll say, love and, you know. No, it's the root. It's the root. It's the root. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So we understand that, you know, success is not possessions. You can see it throughout Hollywood. You can see people that had great success, or maybe they ended their life, or maybe they, you know, you look at what's happening in Hollywood now. I mean, I think it was Minister Lee Howe made a comment to him, was talking about some of the well-known people that are in the music industry, how boom, 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 how, you know, they're billionaires. They're, you know, and so, but see, our eyes mind is that, well, these are successful people. No. These are people right now that are in a lot of trouble. And they're involved with a lot of dangerous, they're involved in cultic behavior. They're involved in cultic things. What I mean cultish, it's demonic. It's from the devil. They're involved in stuff like that. So success is not measured by possessions. Let's get a definition of success. You guys ready for that? Praise God. Take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 22. Let's get a definition, a biblical definition of success. One of them. I don't think it's the only one, but one of them. Luke 22, verse 24. You know, the disciples, and I recently preached this, and I had to go back to this text because I thought it was interesting because, you know, the disciples were arguing. They were arguing over this point, who's going to be the greatest in heaven? And so we see what Jesus said in verse 24, Luke 22, 24. It says, "Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs, as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you one who serves.'" So let's just look at that we got it on the screen. Praise God. Let's just look at this real quick, because Jesus' secret to success, it's a secret to great success, was one that served. One great, a biblical definition of success, one who serves. You know, we see it in Philippians 2:9. It's no wonder, therefore, you know, no wonder you see this in the scripture. "Therefore God has exalted him and given him the name that which is above every name, which is the name of Jesus." And Jesus points out to his disciples, he said, you know, The greatest in the kingdom is going to be that one person whom serves. So we get a definition. We get into, and Miranda got into it today, and it was really, really good, because it's like, how do I serve God? How do I become successful as a Christian? Because I think, you know, how do I stay purposed? These are great questions, and that's what we want to do. We want to be able to answer those questions, because, you know, many times people feel, you know, I don't know my purpose. I don't know how to hear the voice of God. And so people ask, those are general questions that people raise, that, you know, in a lifetime. I mean, you know, even as pastors, you can say, am I hearing correctly from God? You know, are there things that I need to do to position myself to, you know, to see this be more successful in my own life? So these are continual things that we're doing. But, you know, even as we said, you know, success in ministry is not, and it's honestly, it's the one thing that I have learned so much more about. Success in ministry is not for me to stand up here and just preach. There's an anointing for that, yes, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God has anointed us, right? I'm thankful that we have an anointing to be able to share the word, and to do that, and to preach, and you know, believe. We believe in this house for signs, wonders, and miracles, and people to be healed, and people to be saved, and people to be baptized by the Holy Ghost. But it's, you know, it's not just that. You know, Jesus was one who served. You know, when he washed his disciples' feet, what a picture of really, truly one who serves. You know, he was doing something for them, I truly believe, as a sign, as a demonstration. But no, I've come. I've ransomed my life. I've given my life. But I come to you, and I'm giving you all that I am. I'm giving you all that I am. But success isn't just measured by just this here. Because if I you know, Praise God. If I preach a great word tonight, amen. And hypothetically, 10,000 people got saved. I'm visualizing right now. 10,000 people got saved. Praise Jesus. And I walked away from it, and felt whatever like ho hum about it, ho hum about what God did or said, made the comment, look at what I've done. You know, God, I'm not saying that because I would never say that. See, that's not success in the kingdom. That's not success in the kingdom. Success in the kingdom is it goes beyond that. You know, think about it. If Miranda and I, the only time we showed up as your pastors was on a Sunday morning, and we ran in the door, we ran over here and we sat and we ran out, how many of you would be here if you never seen us or had a relationship with us? You would be. You wouldn't have a choice. My daughter. Go to the back room. But, you know, think about it. How many of you would be here if you didn't have, I mean, Minister Martin, would you guys move to West Virginia if that's all we did in Hana? If we just showed up and left and you, we never got to know you, would you have moved here if you never gotten to know us and it was in a relationship? No. Thank you, Minister Lee Howell. Mara, I don't know what she's doing up here. They were called. But so do you understand that, you know, sometimes it's really that simple. It's the simple little things that we can do. And I want to tell you this tonight. It's that we discover our purpose as believers. You discover your purpose as a believer. There's laws of discovery. I mean, I think it was David Oedipo. He said he read a book from Kenneth Copeland, and when he was young in his ministry, and it was I think it was one of that Gloria Copeland wrote, and it talked about prosperity, and he says as I read the Law of Prosperity was the name of the book. He said as I read the book, he said I put the book down because I went to a conference. He flew from Africa, Africa. Where's he at? Nigeria. So he flew from Nigeria, went to a conference in Dallas. He was there 3 days, and he said, I went back to my hotel, was reading this book, and I read this book, and he said, I laid the book down. He said, guess what? God gave me a revelation of, I don't have to be poor ever again. I don't have to be poor ever again. Because I caught the revelation. Now his church is actually almost a mile by a mile, and they fill it 5 times a day. Amen. So it's not about money, guys. Listen, it's not about money. It's not about your possessions. Again, you can own whatever you want to own. It's not about that. Success is not measured by what you possess or how big your building is. You know, when we build the church building over there, will that frustrate somebody? Yes, absolutely. You know, when Jonathan builds his church up in Pittsburgh, is it going to frustrate people? Yeah, it'll frustrate people. Dr. Morocco built that church on the prime spot in all of Hawaii. Do you think, it frustrated people. How could that church get that property? There should have been 4 hotels on that 10 acres or 1 hotel. I don't know. And then you know what I love about it? Then they get the property across the street. You know why they get the property across the street? It's because they pray. And they've been praying for almost 35 years for the property across the street. They never left the, you know, that's why I say, Pastor Brad's always talking about prayer. That's why I say prayer is so important. We're praying for the property out there. Amen. We're praying for the right plan. We're praying for the purpose. For that property. We don't leave those things. Because that, you know what? When we don't leave those things, you know what happens? It guarantees success in our life. There can be success in one's life. And we think it's in Psalms, you know, that well into your age, you can live a life of great success. Amen. Amen. How do I elevate my purpose for the kingdom? I remain as someone who serves. I want to figure out a place to land this because it's deeper than just me saying that I'm one who serves. Okay, there's really some things here that. Oh my. Because see, the description of true success, you know, is accomplishing your stewardship. It's what you're given. It's what you're called to steward here on earth. But see, it's not only with God, it's with people. It's not only that I say yes to God, but I'm also stewarding my relationship with Him so that I can steward relationships with people. God loves people. He sent a church for people. He sent Pastor Brad and Pastor Miranda here for people, right? It wasn't that we just decided to move to Fairmont. You know, it wasn't on my radar. But He sent us here because of people. So God loves people. And God loves people, and He needs people to fulfill His purpose on earth. We're His people. Amen. You and I are God's people that are called to fulfill His purpose. And that's what we're doing. You know, from the smallest things to what might seem like the biggest things. You know, from the smallest thing of having workers in our kids' rooms today. You know, I looked at Miss Bev and I said, you know, are you okay? Do you need anything? She looked at me and said, my people are ready. And she got a big smile on her face. And she doesn't look at us any week, do you need anything? No, we're good. And she smiles, and that's her response to us. So you know what happens? I have a confidence in knowing everything's taken care of. But you know the other side of it, if something's going on, she takes care of it. And that's a confident the confidence thing that she's gonna take care of it. You know, I run around. Do you need anything? I walk downstairs right after today, and I found Zephan downstairs with the youth teaching the kids. You know, that blesses my. He's not just standing around hoping something happens. You know, he was downstairs taking time to sow into these kids. Guys, it's like these things. These little things. That's what's making this thing work. Bus ministry. It's what's making these things work. Think about it. If we didn't show up at Encima's house last year, right? Think about that. This time last year, knock, knock, knock. Angela, you know, Lisa knocking on the door. I'm looking up the street for them. Where did they go? I told them not to go into anybody's homes. You know, follow directions, right? You know, I'm teasing, but you know, they're like, argh, you know, but here they went inside, and they formed a relationship. And now we've had, you know, you guys is a part of, you're a part of our family. You're a part of our family. You need something, we pray. You're a part of our family. God's family is so awesome. Amen. And I don't know whether to cry or jump up and down. But we serve God and we serve people. That is what the Christian walk is really about. And I always, you know, how effective can I be in doing that? How can I be effective in ministering to people? Take your Bibles, go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, because I want to close with this tonight. Joshua 1, 8. How do I maintain and live successful life as a believer? I believe this scripture, and I'm going to give you this. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to talk more about success because I want to get into the discovery of success, but I don't really have time to get into that necessarily tonight, how we discover success. Joshua 1:8 is one of my favorite passages of scripture. So this is a fundamental law of success. in Joshua 1:8, it says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So if we want to possess success in our life, God gives us a recipe right here. He tells us to meditate upon His Word. To meditate upon His Word day and night. Does that mean that you've got to, you know, if you're working an 8 or 10 hour job, how do you meditate upon the Word of God? Well, praying in the Holy Ghost is a good thing. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's one way that you can enter into. And praying in the Spirit. Anybody pray in the Spirit? So so we can keep ourselves in front of the Lord, but we meditate. We meditate day and night. As I said earlier about Joseph, you think about Joseph's life. He wasn't half-hearted with God. He wasn't somebody who says, well, you know, I feel like serving God today, tomorrow I don't. He wasn't like, you know that he wasn't like that because you know, when the attack came, when it happened, he had already made his decision. No, I'm not going to defy my God. How could I do that against my God? Those are the things that you have to get into your heart. How could I do? I meditate. The Bible says this. You know, guys, young men, looking at women. No, my God's, my Bible says this. I don't deviate. I don't allow my mind. I don't allow my eyes to even go there. I'm not going to subject myself to sin. You can win. You can win. And people think, and we preach, you know, you're all going to look. No. I had to smack a friend one time because he says, well, you know, it's okay to look. No, it's not okay to look. He says, well, you know. I said, are you a believer? Well, yeah. Well, I'm not having an affair. I said, you are with your eyes. You are with your eyes. I hauled off and punched him in the arm as hard as I could. We're driving down the road. He was driving too. I said, are you stupid? I was saved, but I was like, anyway. I didn't hit him in the face, but you've got to take this stuff serious. So Joseph knew. He knew that he had set himself up. I'm not doing this. Daniel, what did he do? How was he in such a place with God? How did he become successful? How did Joseph get how did he rise to power? How did Daniel rise to power? They maintained a life of choosing to be obedient to God. He prayed 3 times a day. Did it matter whether anybody cared, whether he prayed or not? He prayed. He wasn't moved by, you know, even the tricks of the enemy. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You think about it. They throw me in the furnace. Woo! Not worried. Not worried. So what if I lose my life? So what? Are you catching this? Because see, when you become obedient to God's word, you're not moved by circumstances. You're not moved. You're focused on being, you know what? I'm going to be successful because you know what? I'm going to meditate upon God's word. People that find themselves, well, you know, I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't need the church's help. I don't need it. You know, people tell me, you know, it's so crazy. I don't need anything. I just need God. But what they need a lot of times is somebody in their life. They need to be in relationship with someone. Because they get so critical of other people. They get so critical of, well, you know, that person says he's a Christian, or that girl says she's a Christian. They get so critical. Such a hatred built up in their heart. You know, guys, these are things even as pastors we deal with. People will come and, you know, you just don't understand. You're right. I might not understand your situation. You know, that person, this person. We've all got people that have come alongside and stepped on our toes. We're maturing as a church. I'm going to tell you, this isn't going to be a, you know, somebody look at me today. He's like, this isn't really a church for like crybabies. And I was like, well, you're kind of right. This isn't a church where we're going to give people the meat of the word. I'm telling you, this is meat tonight. I feel it in my spirit. There are things that if you grab a hold of, this is meat for you tonight. that I would meditate upon the Word of God, that I would stay continual in the Word, that if I have a problem, I'm looking how to solve that problem through the Word. And then, you know, this is the added thing. And then I'm part of a life group. I'm a part of a men's group. I'm a part of a group of people that will pray. And people get so concerned about Aaron or dirty laundry. I mean, does anybody have known anybody in here more than 5 years? Not really. You know, we've all got a past. Man, you know, people need help. Listen, if you need help, you know, I told Zephan, we were sitting today, we were just talking about him buying a home. And I just looked at him and said, do you need help? As an example, I'm not putting you on the spot, but I said, do you need help? He wants to get married. Praise God. He's putting some goals, having a vision, setting some things out there. He said, you know, I said, what do you feel like you're waiting on? He says, well, I want to get a home. You know what Dad said? He's 21 years old. I said, do you need help? He said, yeah. I said, you know how you get help? You know how you get help? Guys, everybody look at me. Look at me. You guys, do you know how you get help? You ask. You ask. I'm not going to keep anything away from him. I'm not going to keep anything away from my children. I'm not going to keep things away from this congregation. You know, it's we get trapped. We get trapped by the cunning tricks of the enemy because we won't take time to ask a question. God, I want to tell you where that's buried at. It's buried in pride. You got to kick that devil out. Man, I've kicked him out. And I mean, I'm sitting with Dave Ramsey. Dave, I got a question. You know, can you quit asking questions? You know, I don't know this information, but you do. I'm shaking his hand, getting my picture taken with him. Hey, I got a question for you. You know, do you guys understand? See, value that. You know, I don't want anybody to know my business. It's not about knowing your business. I don't care about your business. Just want to see you come over the wall. Come over the wall. There's a rope swinging back and forth. There's a rope. And see, that's the body. That's what I know this church is about. That's what Kings is about worldwide. I see it in all of our Kings. Do you need help? We'll help you. You need a job? We'll pray for you. I'm going to tell you. People that have needed a job, I mean, how many times in HANA did we pray for people that needed a job? And they would come up and say, I need a job. Stand up, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. By the end of the day, you'll have a job. And I mean, like clockwork, go. And I would say, you need to go here and here and here. There's only three places you can work in HANA. And so, four maybe. And I said, go here, here, and here. And, you know, and he would come back next week. I got a job. 2 weeks later, hey, I need a job. What happened to the other job? Well, I got fired. Go back to that job and tell them you need to work. Really? Yeah, go back and tell them you need to work. Okay. He called me. Hey, they hired me back. Praise God. And that happened for about 3 or 4 different times. He come in. I need prayer for work. And we would pray. See, God cares. He cares about that stuff. He truly, truly cares. You know, Paul, think about, I'm going to close. I'm closing. Think about Paul in Acts chapter 9. Jesus appears to him. He says, Paul, Saul, he's a Saul at this point. Saul, why are you kicking against the goats? Why are you persecuting me? Lord, I love this. Lord, is that you? That's what he says. Lord, is that you? Why are you kicking against the goats? See, the reason we don't become successful sometimes is we'll kick against the very thing. We'll kick in those areas where God's opened up a door. He's sent somebody into your life to help you. He's done that. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about other people he sent into your life to help you, to prepare you, to give you a vision, to help restore something, to give you direction. And I can go through the list of people that God, you know, has sent into my life. I value that time with people. You know, like Pastor Josh, you know, Pastor Brian said, you know, I can send so-and-so to pick up Pastor Josh. I said, no, I need time with Pastor Josh. Why do I want time with Pastor Josh? It's because I want to talk with him. I want to, okay, there's a church of 1,200 in Maui right now that he's the pastor over. He's the president of our company. I want to ask questions. I want to learn from him. And I want to glean from that. I don't want to stay a church of 100, 150 right now. I want to go higher. We want to build a building. I want to talk about those things. You guys catching this? How do you become successful? You ask questions. And, you know, listen, we're both people. And honestly, she'll do the research a lot more than I will. We were sitting at the house the other night and just talking about having, a brainstorming meeting. Just, ideas, supporting one another and ideas. And I feel like that's something we'll do down the road. You know, Brother John's not here tonight, but he shared an idea with me this week. And it was like, and then he told me the name of the paint pants that he wanted to make. And I'm saying, that's what a name. And did he share that with you? He was talking about how, he was working somewhere and somebody was like, they were a designer and they made clothes and all this. And he was like, I've had this idea to make painter's pants for a long time. And he began to describe to the lady, and the lady said, why don't you come on in here? I want to write this down. One idea, one thing that can shift everything. See, don't pull yourself out of it. Run to it. Guys, run to it. Don't pull yourself away. I thought one day I'd do this. No, you run to it. Find out who's done that. Find out how somebody's accomplished that. Find out. And he said, all those other painters, I've told them about it for years. He said, they laugh at me every time I talk about it. And he said, what I want to do is I want to sell these pants to the college, and I want to put Saplita on the back pocket. So he said, all those painters have my name imprinted on their rear ends everywhere they go. And I said, man, that's awesome. I love that. Amen. What a great idea. That my name's with them. I got my Saplitas on. I said, what a great name, too. That's so cool. Painter's Pants, name Saplitas. I'm like, that name rocks. You could have a hot dog called Saplitas. You could have I'm going to go downtown and try to get the Saplita burger. I mean, it's a cool name, right? John's going to have like 25 businesses. You guys are all going to want to partner with him. Hey, John, I'll go business with you. We can use your name. So praise God. Like the riser burger doesn't sound good, Going down to have the riser, it's just not catchy, Saplitas, So, yeah. Paul Acts 9, he quit kicking. See, we only excel through light. Through light, not darkness, through light. We only excel in life through the light of the Word. Man, what is that? You were talking about light last week in class, and you were talking about something. I don't know. It's light. We need the light of the Word. We need the light for revelation. It's Isaiah 60, that's it. But, something else about that. Isaiah 60. Arise and shine. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise and shine. It's the light of the Word. It's the light of the Lord that you need. You see, we arise by light, not by the strength, nor the struggles in life. It's not we don't come into light. We come into it because of who He is, and we don't come into it by strength. That no man should say, "Look at what I've done." It's the strength of me that's caused this to happen. We enter into the light of the Lord because of who He is. Honestly, it's so much because of His grace. Amen. Praise God. I want to close here tonight. Amen. Amen. Anything you want to add? See that look. Do you? Come quickly. Come quickly if you do.
If I was going to narrow down the idea of success in a nutshell, it would be the concept of whatever God has anointed you to do and how he's asked you to impact and impart to people, focus in on that. That idea of serving God, which in reality causes us to serve people or serve humanity, but by doing that, when you impact people's lives, then that's what causes success in your life. Because when you impact a life, then it causes things to turn. In fact, the Bible even talks about, Paul says that if we have imparted to you spiritually, is it not that we should gain material things from the spiritual impartation that we've given to you? And so there's a concept or a law in God's word that when we make things happen for the purpose of God, then success comes to us in that realm. Even Paul landed on the island of Malta whenever they crashed, and then there was, you know, sickness on the island by the governor. He went and healed the guy's father. He went and healed the main guy there, and then it says that everybody brought them things. Everybody brought them, and even in Paul and Barnabas, they were offered many things because they healed, and then they thought, oh, these must be Greek gods, and they begin to bring offerings to them. And yeah, their concept was wrong. Their logic was wrong in the sense that they weren't Greek gods. They were servants of the Most High God, but it caused people to want to impart to them. And so success comes when we attach ourselves to the purpose that God has given to us in life to be a servant of whatever gifting that it's stewarding the gift that he's given you, really is what it is. When we serve in that way and we develop that and we continue to walk it out and we hone in on it and we cause it to become great, well, then God begins to make that platform that a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. And so that's why I say you got to be faithful in the little things, because if you despise the little things, those are the moments that he's sanding you down. He's perfecting you so that there will be that moment of bringing you before great men. And it's like Pastor Brad said in the beginning, whenever you have that opportunity, don't shrug it off. If there's an open door, then allow yourself to go through it. Doesn't matter how nervous you are, take it. Take the open door. It may be the only one that's opened in that moment. And it may be a long time before it comes back around again. But if you choose to perfect your gift, if you choose to perfect that which God has put on your life to do, then you will begin to shine and you'll begin to develop that and you'll begin to stand out from among the crowd. And then it will begin to open doors for you. As success begins to happen, then it's like that will begin to make room for you. And then it brings an income in. It becomes a resource to you because you've taken the time. That's what separates the men from the boys, is that work of development that happens in between that time. Many people want to go from, oh, I know my calling, I know my purpose, and now I want to just jump to the platform of the open door. But there's the development in the middle that we have to take time with. If we don't take time with that, we'll never get to that open door.
It took Jesus 30 years. Just saying. It's a good example. Amen. Praise God. Did make anything tonight? Just me? Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. So Zephan's going, you're going to ask questions, aren't you? Oh, yeah. And we were laughing about it. I wasn't like just picking on my son. So, amen. Praise Jesus. Well, let's go ahead and stand up.